The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Property owners are calling for a slashing of the tax rate on rental income to 25%, and the group say this will discourage them from selling up and exiting the market. I'm joined by Labour spokesperson for housing, Senator Rebecca Moynihan, and Fianna Fáil spokesperson on EU and foreign affairs, Senator Lisa Chambers. Good morning and welcome. First of all, the landlords are crying the poor mouth, I suppose. They pay too much tax, and the legislation surrounding housing in general is onerous on them, so they are exiting the market. Lisa Chambers, do you think that dropping the tax rate is a good idea to keep them there?
I think it would help, and I think that the suggestion certainly merits consideration. We know for a fact in the first 6 months of this year, we had, I think, in excess of 3,000 landlords give a termination or notice to quit to a tenant, and that is more than double what it was in the same period last year. So we do have a problem. Now, I think it's important that if we're looking at a tax break for landlords, and these are small landlords that are paying income tax, we're not talking about the big commercial landlords, that it's matched with an equal tax relief for renters, and that those tax breaks are conditional on longer and more secure tenancies. So if you're to get a tax break for a landlord, I think they should be required to at least give a tenancy for a 5 or 10 year period. And that way, both landlord and tenant will benefit. And we should hopefully try and stop what is really a mass exodus of small landlords in the market.
That's a double whammy on the exchequer, though, a tax break to renters and a lower tax rate for landlords.
It is, but I think it's necessary, and I think it's warranted in the current crisis that we're in terms of rental properties. There's so few rental properties. I think in my own county in Mayo, the last time I checked daft.ie, for the entire county of Mayo, there were 20 properties for rent. So we have a problem. If you look at the other side of that, there's a lot more properties for sale in Mayo. So clearly, landlords are choosing to exit the landlord sector. They don't want to be landlords anymore, the smaller landlords, and they want to sell up and get out. And we need to try and stop that happening at the rate that it's happening. You'll always have some landlords selling up for different reasons. But the numbers this year are more than double what they were last year. And that means there's less properties for people to rent, and that's putting pressure on prices. So we need to do something about it. I think it's a reasonable suggestion, as long as we see an equal tax relief for renters and we see longer, more secure tenancies for renters as well.
Now, you're saying that there are more properties for sale. We hear there's a housing shortage nationwide. So the simple sums would suggest take something out of the rental market, put it in the for sale market, it sells, and a family which might have been renting gets housed. Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. You know, if it gives stable, permanent housing to people who no longer have to rent, then getting those small houses out of the rental market and into home ownership is a very good idea.
I mean, it's good that there are more properties to buy, but you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're still working out of the same housing stock. And there are certain times of your life when you want a rental property. Younger people, couples starting off together, people that need to move away for work for a period in their life, people going to college. So we still need rental properties. And, you know, I think it's worth hearing out this proposal. If landlords are saying to us, the reason they're leaving is because the tax burden is onerous. And let's be honest about it. There is an unequal treatment of landlords. You've got bigger commercial landlords, which are actually in the minority, that they're the smaller grouping, but they're paying corporation tax. They're paying a third, really, of what small landlords are paying. The vast majority of landlords in Ireland are small landlords. They might have one property or two properties. That could be their pension. They might be an accidental landlord. Maybe a relative has gone into a nursing home. There's a lot of reasons why somebody is a landlord, but they're choosing to exit the market, and that is causing problems for the rental market.
So what you're saying is that the small landlord, generally renting a domestic property, there's no interest from new investors coming in to buy these properties and rent them out, that those properties are being sold perhaps as family homes.
I'm not quite sure what's happening in terms of who's buying them or where they're being sold to.
But they're not being bought. If they're being bought by investors, they would come back into the rental market. So if they're not coming back into the rental market, they must be being bought by homeowners or prospective homeowners.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I mean, and I looked at what Threshold have said recently, where they had, I think, some 3,000 renters come to them. And that's 3,000 renters that have to go and try and find somewhere else to rent in a very tight market. So, you know, I think if we're looking at tax breaks for landlords, and sometimes landlords are being vilified, which I think is the wrong way to look at this, it's really important to remember that the vast majority of landlords are small time, one or two properties. As I said, the pension pot or a relative might have gone into a nursing home. There's lots of reasons people become landlords, and they are feeling quite vilified. So to stop them them exiting the market, I think it is worth considering, you know, looking at the tax burden, but an equal tax measure for relief on, for renters, and also longer tenancies, which I think all parties have called for. We want more secure tenancies. And I think this could be a way to do that. It's not going to solve all of our housing problems, but this is a very real issue that's happening right now. We know it's happening, and we know there are solutions we can find to try and stop landlords leaving the market. I think we have to explore all avenues. And, you know, again, to acknowledge some landlords in the state, those that have multiple properties, are paying far less tax than the small landlord. And I think that's actually unfair, and it's an unequal treatment. And I think that needs to be addressed as well.
Labour spokesperson for housing, Senator Rebecca Moynihan, listening to us. Rebecca, what's your take on this? Landlords are undoubtedly leaving the market in significant numbers. Would this measure keep them there?
Well, we do have unequal treatment, and what the Landlords Association are calling for is even more unequal treatment, which is the unequal treatment between what they're proposing that landlords will pay and what people who go out and work a job and are paying exorbitant, outrageous rents are currently paying to them for what will be a capital asset. The reason that a lot of landlords are leaving or selling up is ignoring the fact that we have both record rents and we have record house prices.
Why would you sell up if No, hang on a second, Rebecca. If you have record rents, why would you sell up? Great money.
Well, some people don't want to be a landlord, which is fair enough. People got trapped in negative equity. They had to trade up because their lifestyle might have changed, and they felt that they were stuck with a rental property. They're rightly getting out of it now because they don't want to be landlords. Being a landlord should be looked at and seen as a job, as opposed to a side hustle where somebody else is both paying a capital asset for you and also paying you a profit because they can afford to do it, as opposed to Generation Rent, who are trapped in an insecure and extremely high record market. And it's worth remembering, Pat, that it is more expensive to rent than it is to buy at the moment, but people aren't getting access there to mortgages. There's another thing in the submission today, which is they're essentially calling for an inheritance tax write-down of 90%, which is the same as farming and business write-downs, where they can pass on assets up to 3.25 million to somebody else. Now, it is incredible to me that what we are doing is we are taking a crisis in rent, and somehow the people who are coming out worse out of this are landlords rather than people who are paying over €2,000.
You talk about, Rebecca, equality, first of all. The landlords are maybe they weren't whinging so much about this until the big boys came in significant numbers, and these real investment trusts are treated in a very benign tax way. Maybe landlords were happy to make a few bob and eventually own an asset that would fund a pension. But then they look at the REITs and they think, hang on, they're paying only corporation tax. We're paying, if you like, income tax and USC on our businesses. That's not fair.
Well, it's not fair that people who are paying income tax from their job are then handing up over 50% of their wages to somebody else.
No, but I mean, if you've got two businesses, if you're making widgets and you're charged 12.5% and someone else is making ice cream and they're charged 50%, they'd be saying, hang on a second, you know, we're both in manufacturing.
The Labour Party don't believe that you should be able to make money from an unproductive asset, and a house and property investment is an unproductive asset, than you should do from your own labour. And it's very unfair on behalf of workers. It's worth mentioning that some of the real estate investment trusts are actually increasing supply as opposed to competing with first-time buyers who are going for houses. And obviously, they're able to pay over the odds. Now,
do you not believe, by the way? No, Rebecca, when you say this stuff, which reminds me a bit of, you know, the old socialist days of yore, like, for example, a taxi. That's not a productive asset. Now, it's a useful service. It gets you from A to B, but it's not a productive asset. It doesn't generate any cash in any real sense for the economy generally. It just puts cash in the taxi man's pocket. In the same way, a house or a flat is a very useful asset. This capital thing that you say is just lying idle there. It doesn't produce anything for the economy, but it houses people who produce things for the economy.
Well, it's paying for a service. But when you have rents, for example, where people are paying over €2,000 to live in Dublin, and we see people that are now leaving, and we have a crisis in supply, it's actually causing problems for the economy as opposed to...
As opposed to, we do not know, because we just lost Rebecca's line, and we'll pick it up now in a moment or two. Lisa Chambers, your response to this: these are unproductive assets. They should not be treated in any kind of benign way. They should be treated exactly as income from any other job would be treated.
Yeah, I actually wasn't aware that that was the Labour position, that you shouldn't be able to make money from an unproductive asset. So do I take from that that Labour are suggesting that landlords shouldn't make money or shouldn't make a profit? Thankfully, that's not government policy, because it's completely unsustainable and quite frankly, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I think that Rebecca and I can probably agree on a number of things. I would agree with Rebecca that rents are too high in parts of the country and that there is a crisis in supply of rental properties. And I think it would be helpful if Labour would recognise that, you know, if we want to achieve some of the things that we would agree on, like keeping landlords in the market, we have to do something to keep them here. And one of the solutions on the table that I think merits consideration is a tax reduction for the smaller landlord, as opposed to the big commercial landlord that has multiple properties. And also recognising that if we do offer that to those smaller landlords, that we would in return look at an equal tax relief for renters, which will bring down the high rental costs that Rebecca wants to deal with, and would also try and get longer, more secure tenancies. Again, something I think Labour have also called for.
So it seems to me that both of you seem to have an issue. I want to put a point to you both.
Thanks. Yeah, I just want to finish off what I was saying here. We did solve the issue of people entering homelessness from evictions, and that was during the pandemic, where we actually banned evictions. And what we need to do is we need to ban evictions and sale grounds. If I own the building that Brown Thomas are in and I sell it on to another landlord, Brown Thomas stay there and they have security of tenancy. And commercial tenants have security of tenancy. Where a landlord is selling on to another landlord, we need to ban evictions on those grounds.
No, hang on a second. When you're making those points, you don't talk about the covenant that Brown Thomas might have with their landlord. In other words, it could be a very long covenant. It could be 39 years or whatever. It might be 5 years. A new coffee shop might have a 1 year tenancy agreement. You know, the deal is the deal. So if someone gets a covenant with their landlord of a 10 year tenancy, so be it. That's the deal. If they get a 1 year tenancy, that's the deal. What is wrong with doing it in that way?
There should be no reason where a landlord is selling from one landlord to another that people are evicted on those grounds. And we also see that 60,000 people are housed through HAP. And we know that the majority of people who are going into homelessness are coming from the private rented sector. We need local authorities to buy that housing. They're often former local authority houses to begin with, that the local authority and the state are funding through HAP. They need to be able to buy them and build back up the housing stock. Where we think the housing
but Rebecca, I'm just thinking back. Both Fianna Fáil and Labour in government actually sold off housing stock, or allowed it to happen. You know,
so they did,
because the whole thing was home ownership is better than renting. It builds more stable communities. That was the mantra. And, you know, if you suddenly find a local authority that has no housing stock because they haven't been building for all the wrong reasons, I suppose, they haven't been building. Maybe they just didn't want to be landlords in such great numbers, but they stopped building and they sold off their stock. But both Labour and Fianna Fáil were part of that process.
Well, I think Fianna Fáil were a much longer part of government where we had that tenant purchase scheme. But what you're meant to do is you're meant to replace the housing stock, and local authorities weren't replacing the housing stock. And there was a switchover in the 2000s from local authorities directly building and buying to the social and affordable housing through the private sector, where then capacity for local authorities to be able to be built was generally wound down over time. And that was introduced in the mid 2000s. But we need to support a tenant in situ scheme for people who are within HAP tenancies. And I think the bigger issue is the issue for renters, where we have unaffordable rental costs, and we need to be doing things like tying Croí Cónaithe to cost rental, which we're not doing. What we're saying we're going to do is we're going to fund private developers to build apartments, but there's going to be no ties to affordability on that. And we need to keep the focus on renters as opposed to landlords and who is delivering it.
Yeah. By the way, how would you keep landlords in the market?
Well, the state should be stepping in. And that's what consistently what us and other parties have argued, is that actually the state has handed over the provision of housing to the private rented sector. And it has led us to being in this situation, this problem. And in just a year, we have evictions go up 50%. Obviously, some people are going to want to rent. There's always going to be a small number of them. But our social housing provision used to be delivered through the state and not through the private rented sector and the schemes that are there the way that they are.
And finally, Lisa, what do you say to that? It's basically, you can tweak this all you like. You can have all sorts of schemes and wheezes and ideas. But at the end of the day, it is supply. If you don't have enough houses, either the cost of buying a house or the cost of renting a house or an apartment is going to keep pushing upwards.
Well, Pat, what I take from what Rebecca has just said, you asked her a very direct question, what would Labour do to keep landlords in the market? And she basically didn't answer or refused to answer. In terms of the tenant in situ, in terms, I didn't interrupt you, Rebecca, so if you'd like me to finish, please. The tenant in situ proposal that Labour has just made there, that happens. The local authorities are actually authorised to purchase a property where there is a tenant in situ and the property is going to be sold. That's already happening. The government have not handed over anything to the private rented sector. The private rented sector is a good thing. We need private rental properties. We have a problem right now that people are leaving that market and Labour have no solutions, but they're quite able to give out and point problems, but no solutions on the table. When you've got something here that could potentially have an equal tax rate for renters to bring down the cost of rental properties, as Rebecca seems to want to do, but doesn't want to acknowledge this is a solution. And also a proposal here that could see longer and more secure tenancies. Again, Labour are not interested. So it seems quite able to point problems, but don't want to actually deal with any of the possible solutions.
I have to go back to you, Rebecca, just for one question from a listener, Rebecca. Does Rebecca think there are ever grounds for eviction?
Yes, of course I do. But I think eviction...
What might they be?
Grounds need to be restricted. For example, antisocial behaviour or not paying rent. Pat, you had a constituent of mine on your programme during the summer that I've been dealing with who has two disabled children. She's living in a local authority house receiving HAP and she is being thrown out of her house and facing homelessness. And the local authority can't buy through the tenant in situ scheme. There was an attempt last year to put limits on local authorities, the amount of housing that they can buy through the tenant in situ scheme, and it's not working properly and effectively, which is why people are being made homeless. That's a real life example of somebody who would have been previously in a local authority house, is receiving her social support through HAP in a former local authority house and is facing eviction and homelessness with three kids, two of whom are very severely
disabled. Right. And I remember
that's
that interview.
That's the real life situation.
Definitely. All right, we leave it there. Thank you both very much for joining us. Labour spokesperson for housing, Senator Rebecca Moynihan, the last voice there. And before that, Fianna Fáil spokesperson on EU and Foreign Affairs, Senator Lisa Chambers.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.